4 o'clock hours here. Reno's on board. Northern Nevada's on board. It's all brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Dial 775-766-1400 in the North. Team's back on the board at the Finley Toyota Studios. Mateo's helping us out here with the setup at Ellis Island and the front yard. Monday Night Football is on the way in about an hour and 20 minutes. We'll get back into some hardcore football talk with Jesse Merrick in about an hour from Silver and Black Sports Network, and also Caleb Herring on the NFL, college football, the CFP, which is where we start, and UNLV, which is where we start with the Big Four with Jeff Parles and Cofield. Let's do it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Yeah, you knew the SEC was in pretty good shape when we were checking out the odds on Saturday morning, the yes-no, make the playoffs or not, and of all the teams that could lose, potential bubble teams, Alabama was minus 1,800. And obviously, we talked about late last week and on Saturday morning, well, what if they get their ass kicked? That's going to make a change. And they're actually the first recent conference title game loser to not drop down at all in the CFP. 15 previous teams lost and dropped down. Alabama somehow didn't drop down after not being impressive against Auburn. They moved up. And then not being impressive against Georgia. So the odds makers are smart, making it minus 1,800. I looked at the number. I'm like, wait. I mean, this basically suggests they can lose. I mean, how bad would they have to lose? 63-0? And they,
I think they could have lost by 250, and they wouldn't have moved out based off of what
I mean, it's pretty outrageous. We know there's SEC bias. I'm not saying Alabama shouldn't be in the field, but, you know, if you look at this thing like the NCAA tournament for basketball, I think there is a premium put on last 10 games. So whatever that would be, you know, percentage-wise, last third of the season for Alabama, they were not impressive. And the other thing is they're building a TV show here. They could have scrambled the seeds a little bit for different matchups. Although I will say Alabama getting by Oklahoma and then playing an absolute non-factor for 75 years in football, Indiana, is kind of intriguing in the next round.
You know, I didn't think of it that way, but you are right. Because that Oklahoma-Alabama game, we saw that game, what, a month ago, and it was an awful game. And actually, quite frankly, that game is another game, and it's very important to why Notre Dame's not out, because Oklahoma would have had no chance at 9-3. Bama just handles their business in that game. Notre Dame's in. Alabama also probably cost, well, not probably, it cost himself a home game of losing that game also. So, but hey, again, I said in the first hour, I have no problem with Miami over Notre Dame. I have a humongous problem with Alabama getting in over Notre Dame. We all know why they got in. It's I don't want to call it corrupt because it's a little far, but it's pretty darn close if it isn't. But here you go, five SEC teams in a 12-team field. And as I outlined in the last hour, I think Georgia's the only one that has a legitimate chance to win a national championship in those five.
Number three. So what happens first? I'll give you three choices. Bowl games go away completely. CFP pushes the 14 or 16 schools. Or they make a rule that the group of six can get max one team into the playoff.
Oh, I'm throwing a curveball at you, Cofield. I'm going with the bowl games go away.
Wow.
Because I think the CFP is going to go straight through those numbers. I think they're going right to 24 this offseason. I think they are just going to skip it completely. They're going to go right to 24. We're going to get more bids for the big schools. We're going to make sure that teams, well, also, even though based off what the Notre Dame AD dropped today, if they stayed with 12, if Notre Dame's in the top 12, last top 12, they're in. If they're in, they go to 14, if they're in the top 13, they're in. But I think they're skipping 14 and 16. I think they see the dollar signs, all that fun jazz. I think they're going right to 24, so my answer to you is the bowl games go away first because I think they're just skipping 14 and 16.
Yeah, the impetus for the bowl games going away, the story I was going to use is Notre Dame saying, you know what, we don't want to go to a bowl game. And a bunch of 5-7 teams had a chance to step up and go to a bowl game. They all said no. Notre Dame in particular, though, got hit real badly because of the timing of it. It's like, hey, we're going to take our ball and go home. I saw Emmanuel Acho basically call Marcus Freeman a pansy. I would love for those two to meet up and him to say that to his face. But are they being sore losers by saying, hey, we're out of this whole bowl thing? And keep in mind, they basically turned down an ESPN bowl game where they were going to be matched up against BYU.
Disrespecting Pop-Tarts more so than anything is my biggest issue.
I think the kids get cheated. It's one of the best bowl games going, at least theme-wise, and all the free Pop-Tarts you can eat before and after the game.
It's the most fun bowl game out there at this point, not counting the...
So what do you think of them skipping the bowl game?
I get being upset.
Yeah.
But C.J. Carr is still a freshman, and getting him... extra month of practice, yep, and a game against a look BYU. BYU's a really good football team. Who, by the way, I had no issue with them being left out, even though they've been completely forgotten in the discussion. They had two cracks at Texas.
Well, we haven't gotten to it yet. Believe me, they're being extra annoying.
Yeah, they were non-competitive.
You got blasted by the same team twice. Yeah, your resume's not that good. I don't want to hear about your poverty as a brand. Cut it out. Right, you're just going to buy yourself more wins and more players next year. You're fine.
Just you get more crumble cookies. But regardless, I'll just say, I just don't like it from Notre Dame's perspective that C.J. Carr is missing out on a month of practice and another game against a really good opponent, and he's going to be your quarterback next year. That's really what I don't like about it more than anything else. I have no problem with Kansas State bailing. I have no problem with Iowa State bailing because they have new coaches and they're going to have completely new rosters. I have no problems with those teams.
It's also hard to go to a bowl team on this short of notice, especially if half the team is gone and trying to pull it together.
Well,
while the extra practice would be cool. But back to Notre Dame for a second.
Yeah.
I do think it cheats the kids, and I know when people say that, it's like, these bowl games, they are cool. They are. It's a cool experience. It is the extra practice, for the – most elder statesman on the team. It's one last chance to practice and bond with your teammates, celebrate the season. They had a great season. I understand they're mad. That's why I don't like the move. But I do believe this is a move as another part of the power play. I really do think Notre Dame is trying to stick it to ESPN
100%.
And cost them a bunch of money in that bowl game and screw them out of a matchup. And I think there's going to be much bigger fish to fry. I'm going to set this up now, and I'm going to be told repeatedly that – it can't happen. It shouldn't happen. I hope Notre Dame goes freaking ballistic, and I hope there's lawsuits. Because I've never understood how these systems are determined, because frankly, they're very arbitrary. They're based on school alignments that at their base level started in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I don't understand why. Because in the end, this is about access, right? This is about access, not the bowl games. This is about access. So Notre Dame... going after, if they had an allegation that ESPN is slanted, they should not be the power behind this whole thing, even though they are putting up the lion's share of the money for the CFP deal, it is slanted. And it is arbitrarily slanted against a team not in a conference, in the case of Notre Dame. If you're a fan of the Irish or, the brass with the Irish, why do we have to join a conference? Why? Secondly, I would love to see states like New Mexico, Nevada, Idaho, Montana, the Dakotas. I'll even bring up states like Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire, who could all say, listen, we've been left out of this bounty of money, and you continue to come up with new rules where whether we have an FBS or an FCS program, we don't really get a fair chance to get into this freaking thing. On top of that, I would also love for Newsom to look at his state schools, who many of them are in the Pac-12, they really have no shot. Now, they have schools there. I'm talking about their state system. But I would love for them to jump on board. Let's make this into a legal thing, and let's get the mouth of the South, Greg Sankey, up there, and let's defend this stupid system, which, by the way, are we America or are we not America? We are about achieving. If you are a piss-poor, depressed state that no one wants to live in, and you're dying a slow death in Alabama, Mississippi, Iowa, Indiana, why are you part of the haves? It's proven. Your median incomes and households is going down. There's no jobs. People are moving to areas like this and all the other areas I mentioned. I don't know about New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine, but all those other states are growing states. They're booming. Let's go. I've been asking for this for 5 years. I would love the challenge. It's kind of what and Justin Watkins kind of set me straight on this. It's now I'm blanking on the – oh, Chip Roy, representative from Texas, was kind of lecturing everyone on what's happened and how college football has been changed, and it's all about money. And while I was going against Chip Roy, what Justin explained to me, our legal insider and a former public servant, was that Chip is saying this thing is so jacked up. If you want us to fix it, oh, then we're going to fix it, and we should fix it. Blow the whole damn thing up. Everyone deserves access. Lawsuit time. Let's bring in the feds. Let's flex some muscles in these states that are arbitrarily shut out of this thing because it makes no sense. Why is a crap hole like Oxford, Mississippi included, but the school in Las Vegas is not? I mean, we have an outside shot here in Vegas. But things are pinned against us. Come on! Rant number one of the week.
They're pretty good. Pretty good. I was going to
take it as the top one. I'm just saying it's a rant.
I was going to attack the ACC more so than anything. But part of
fire away.
The biggest issue with this the last 2 years is because the ACC has been incompetent. That's why last year we got stuck with two ACC teams that probably didn't deserve to be there. Now this year, I really do think, now as I think about this more and more, Miami getting in even more than they beat Notre Dame is because the committee didn't want to leave the ACC out because they couldn't take 8-5 Duke. Be a power conference, ACC. Actually, Notre Dame should sue the ACC. They should leave in the non-rev sports. Go see if the Big Ten or the SEC wants to do your scheduling thing. Do that. Get away from them. Get away from the ACC. I like your rant better than mine, though.
Play number one. Just get to the top story.
Number one.
Now I'm calling it an audible. I'm going to bring up something we talked about a lot, and I saw it suggested again today. College football, they do need to blow things up. They do need to go back to regional matchups. The Big 80 idea that came from someone in the Mountain West Conference is brilliant, and I would make it, it's a big 130 plus. You have, basically the Big 80 would be 10 divisions of 8 teams with relegation.
I'm all in.
So, and that means that my whole concept of, like, are we America or not? Can you achieve or not? Can you step up the ladder or not? If you want to be a welfare recipient, then you move down. I'm not an anti-welfare person. I'm just trying to please those people who are fired up right now. The ability to move up is what this country is all about, and it is what's fair. And if we had a Big 80, and especially at the bottom of it, if teams could move in from outside the 80 into the 80, if teams could move from the 80s, technically it would be the 70s into the 60s, and so on. Let's do that. Because it is completely out of control. And then, I mean, who deemed Greg Sankey basically is the president of all college sports. Who the F is he? Who is Tony Patini? Who are these guys? And I understand they're paid to do a job, so they're paid to be arrogant and power brokers and threaten people. But you know what? I'm tired of being threatened. I'm tired of my tax money going to support public universities because somehow the state of Nevada, for the most part, is shut out of this incredible bounty.
Hey, Tony Patini's going to be the man who came up with the 2014 playoff, though.
I don't know if that's progress. It'd be entertaining. I'll admit it. I mean, I should boycott the whole damn thing. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get into some of the games in the NFL. Also look ahead to the CFP as Nick Bogdanovich is on the way from Boomer Sportsbook. We're yelling and screaming inside the front yard at Ellis Island.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's get to these lines for the CFP coming up in a couple of weeks. Also, another week in the National Football League. We'll look back, we'll look ahead. Jeff Parles, Cofield, ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno, here at Ellis Island. Nick Bogdanovich is on the horn with us. Nick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hold on. We were just ranting and raving about Notre Dame being left out of the CFP. Where do you guys, in general, power ratings-wise, have Notre Dame ranked in college football?
Well, I had Notre Dame 3 over Miami, so I guess that's the main culprit they were up against, but yeah, pretty bizarre situation. I mean, if Virginia wins, Notre Dame would be in and Miami would be out. So I tend not to follow just because there's always something goofy that's going to happen.
How do you look at Alabama in terms of power rankings?
Alabama, Notre Dame, I had about the same. So right there. Even though Alabama's really playing poorly right now, but I would have had Alabama in.
So we're going to expand. Yeah, I was going to say we're going to expand this thing to 14, 16, or 24. So in the end, for sports books, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, more games the better for us. I mean, it's all about volume anyway. But yeah, I'd like to see no buys, but they like to do those buys. I'd like to see everyone have to play the same amount of games if it's a tournament. So, obviously the system is flawed to say the least, but it is what it is. I'm glad it's just not two. That I can tell you. I didn't care for those days.
No, this is great. Anyone who complains that we need to go back, punch them in the face. That was stupid. I hated to. I got a whole set of rants today, Nick. I'll save them for the rest of the night. Alabama and Oklahoma in this CFP matching up. Last number I saw was a pick. Would you side with Oklahoma based on the way Alabama's playing recently?
Yeah, that's what we got as pick. Obviously, if Alabama's offense is performing like this in Norman, Oklahoma, with Oklahoma's defense, they might not crack 10. So I would favor that side. I did. My power ratings called for it. I made a dead pick them. So it will be interesting to see if Simpson can play a little better for Alabama.
Just rattled through these CFP games. Might as well. Four with A&M in Miami here. You taking early action on the Aggies here?
We open A&M 5, and it's down to 4. Okay. So just a little action on the dog, but not much. I mean, these early numbers, they're openers, so you can move them a little faster, and they're smaller limits. But interesting game. We'll see what Miami's made of right out of the chute, right? I mean, College Station's a rough place to play, so that is a hell of a game to watch, though.
And then, Nick, we'll hit the other two in one here. Tulane, 16.5-point underdog at Ole Miss, and James Madison, a 3-touchdown underdog at Oregon.
Yeah, Tulane, Ole Miss, what they played earlier this year, and Ole Miss whacked them. I think Tulane will do better this year. I like Tulane's quarterback. I like the coach. And there's familiarity. And Ole Miss may take him a little lightly. So I have a feeling the dog may hang around that one. And then, Oregon, I think Oregon can beat Madison as bad as they want to. But they just want to get through the next round. So, trying to cover 21 is not their priority. But I think Oregon could name the score if they wanted to. And I'm a Madison fan.
Nick Bogdanovich, Boomer Sportsbook, is up with us. In general, do you get decent handle on Army-Navy since it's sort of an ISO game, although there's a bowl game coming up this weekend too? Navy is the latest number I had is 6.
Yeah, definitely. Always Army-Navy, always really good action. Obviously, it's been the standalone Saturday game that forever. And it also depends on if one of the teams is really good or not. But, yeah, no, for sure we'll have some action on them. There was a crazy run of unders there in that series. I don't know how many there were, but it was a mile long.
The L.A. Bowl looks like this one's ticked up a few points. Washington is now 8. Is that right? 8.5. 8.5 against Boise.
Yeah, I think we opened 7.5 up to 8.5. We did take a bet on Washington. So, interesting game. Boise took care of business, won the Mountain West again, and now they get a step up in class and play a pretty good Big Ten team. I was about to say Pac-10 team, but I caught myself. So, yeah, this is, I'd say, one of the better bowl games. This is going to be a good game to watch.
Nick, let's go to tonight. Justin Herbert is going to play, even though there really wasn't that much doubt that he was going to at least give it a go. We're down to 1 now here at Boomers. Eagles 1-point favorites against the Chargers.
Yeah, a minute ago we were 2, and then they announced that, like you said, something that everyone already knew, and the game went to 1. So, they always do that for whatever reason. The board reacts, but yeah, it should be a hell of a game. Obviously, both teams need it in the worst way. And anytime you can watch Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts go at it, you never know what Saquon might do. So, yeah, no, this is a very, very good Monday night contest.
Let's fast forward to next week. I'll start on Thursday because all of a sudden the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in a real race in the NFC South, partially of their own doing with that stunner yesterday losing to New Orleans. They welcome in the Falcons, who are just playing horrific football right now. Buccaneers, though, 4.5-point favorites in this one.
Yeah, you just can't lose that one. But testament to the Saints. They are playing hard. Their defense is really playing hard, and Shug can make some plays. Obviously, he did with his feet yesterday. So, hats off to the Saints for competing. Same scenario here. We opened Tampa 5.5. It's down to 4.5. We did take some Falcon money just because I believe that Tampa's in disarray. I mean, Atlanta's in horrific shape as well. So, I mean, Seattle just curb stomped them yesterday. So, yeah, what is it, NFC South rivalry game. So Tampa needs it. Who knows, maybe Mike Evans might even show up this week from what I'm hearing.
Let's go to the biggest game on the board in the AFC this week, and that is New England hosting Buffalo. Of course, the Patriots already won in Western New York this year. New England off the bye. It's a pick 'em now. Pick 'em in this one between the Bills and the Patriots. Buffalo off that big win yesterday against Cincy.
Yeah, we opened Buffalo 1, and we took a bet on New England, so we're at pick. Normally, this is the type of game I would play Buffalo because they got a little revenge on their mind. But the fact that New England's got to buy and Buffalo's defense is not playing as great as it could be, I'm going to pass. But usually it's an automatic play on the Bills in this spot.
The other, well, look like a big game, but may not be now. Kansas City under 500 with 4 weeks to go. They'll play these Chargers. You're at 4.5 right now. I would imagine that a lot of the action on this game this week will be dictated off of what we see from Justin Herbert tonight.
Yeah, no question about it. And we keep waiting for the Chiefs to hit that switch and turn it on, but nothing's coming on when they hit that switch. I mean, just absolutely shut down yesterday by a really good Texan defense, but that offense just has never gelled this year. So, I don't think they're going to mail it in. I think they're going to run the table and hope for some luck, but yeah, we got Chiefs 4.5 right now, and depending on what happens tonight, this thing will either go up or down.
Get your Boomer Sportsbook account now. Open it up here at Ellis Island or at Casino Valley Verde. Can people open up an account at the new book at Jose Locos?
Yes, they can, for sure. There's people there to help them, and it only takes 3 or 4 minutes, so if you're on that side of town, pop on in.
It's easy. It's very easy. I opened up mine 3 months ago now, and it literally took like 5 minutes. You got point spread insurance going tonight on the Philly side. College football championship odds are up as Indiana top seed is plus 260. Ohio State's a favorite at plus 220. You can get James Madison with a lottery ticket or Tulane at Boomer Sportsbook at 750-1 or 500-1 on Tulane. Where are you personally on the Denver Broncos, and you know, yesterday they won easily. It was a backdoor, but I find the number with Denver and Green Bay kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I think the NFC is, I mean, dead wide open. I mean, the NFL. I mean, anyone can win this thing, and Denver can win it. But if they went out in the first their first game, it wouldn't surprise me either. So, it's a huge parity at the top. I mean, it really is. Just wait for 1 week to come and it'll change. So, yeah, I think Denver can win it, but I don't think they will.
Bad team against, we think, a good team. And I know Parles wants to get into the Bears a little later on. But Shador, off of making some progress, going against the Bears. And, well, you know, the Bears didn't win the game against Green Bay. I think they scored some points for people.
You know, the Bears, I've been wrong on the Bears. I thought they were a little overrated, but the way they're running the football, their defense is playing halfway decent. I think the Bears can make a little noise in the playoffs. And yeah, Shador looked like a real NFL quarterback yesterday. Made a lot of good plays against a decent Tennessee defense in some crappy weather. So maybe the Browns have a little hope in their future, but if he keeps progressing like he looked yesterday, he looked pretty darn good.
Man, oh, man. Let's close on this one. How quickly the NFL can change. Seattle's laying upwards of 10.5. The Colts now don't have Danny Dimes and are bringing in Philip Rivers for a workout. Talk about fortunes changing with one injury.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Looks like the Colts were going to have a magical year. Now it's an absolute dumpster fire. But I just saw that on ESPN that they're going to try out Philip Rivers. He's 44 years old with 44 kids. I mean, I'm not sure where they're going with that, but It's a shame Riley Leonard got hurt. He's a tough kid, and it'd be good if he had a shot at playing in the bigs. But obviously, this Colts season is not going to end well. No more Shane Steichen Coach of the Year awards.
No. All right, Nick. Hey, we appreciate it. We know you're a busy guy. Good luck tonight behind the counter. We'll talk to you.
Thank you much.
There he is, Nick Bogdanovich. Boomer Sportsbook brings you ESPN Las Vegas on the road every Monday night. Come on out here. You guys can watch Eagles and Chargers at the Front Yard inside Ellis Island.
Win, cheer, and ring in the new year with PT's Taverns this December. Join us for holiday parties, VGK watch parties, and New Year's Eve specials. Plus, ask your bar host how you can enter to win your share of $25,000 in free slot play just by playing with your True Rewards card. Oh, and happy hour? Twice daily, half off all drinks, even the good Yeah, we said it. With over 70 taverns, there is always a neighborhood tavern near you. Visit ptstaverns.com to find yours today.
This is John Barr, General Manager at Finley Toyota. Been thinking about getting a new truck? Now's the time. We got huge incentives on the powerful Toyota Tundra and Tacoma. These trucks are built to handle anything you throw at them. With these deals, they're more affordable than ever. But these offers won't last. Come see us at Finley Toyota before they're gone. We'll make sure you drive off in the truck you've always wanted at the price you deserve. Finley Toyota, Nevada's number one selling dealership at the Valley Auto Mall in Henderson.
Hey, Jeff, how's the new job working out?
Really sucks. Terrible boss and the paycheck is even worse. I gotta get a new job.
Truck you.
Wait, what?
Truck you.
You don't have to curse at me.
Dude, you should check out Truck You CDL training. My brother got his CDL license in 4 weeks and now he has a new career making great money.
Okay, I'm listening.
Truck You offers small classes with night and weekend times available. They will even help with payment programs. Check them out. Truck, the letter U, LV.com. Truck You.
Attorney Matt Hoffman with Battleborn Injury Lawyers. When you're injured, you don't just need a lawyer. You need a partner who understands what you're going through. At Battleborn, our attorneys don't just handle your case. We walk beside you every step of the way. We meet with you personally from day one. We actually answer your calls, and we keep you informed. Don't settle for a law firm that ignores your calls and makes you feel like a burden. Choose Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Call 766-1400 for a free consultation. That's 766-1400. At Battleborn, your battle is our fight.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. It's your last chance to get exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Why pay a cover or crazy drink prices just to watch the big fight? At Silver Sevens, it's $3 drinks and free pay-per-view events. There's no drink minimum, no entry fee. Just bring your friends and grab a seat. It's just that simple. They're your neighborhood hangout for every round, every game, and every match. Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino, where your favorite sports action is always on. Did I mention free parking? Yeah, parking's always free. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
15 seconds to air. Stand by all cameras.
Ready with slow motion and isolated cameras. In less than 5, in 3, 2, 1.
Take.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Brought to you in Northern Nevada by Battleborn Injury Lawyers, office in Reno, 4 offices here in Southern Nevada. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number, dial 775 in the north to get in touch with Justin and Matt. And make sure to check out Instagram for Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Matt Hoffman doing a lot of cool videos on a myriad of topics in sports and outside of sports. More NFL. We were just talking about the schedule coming up. Man, this is a really good week on the way. Sometimes at the end of the season they have some dud matchups, but the NFL is kind of lucking into some good ones here. You mentioned the game of the week, Bills and New England. That's tremendous. I mean, Chiefs Chargers is still a massive game. Chiefs are going to need some breaks now, but Trust me, for Chargers fans, and I live with one, Chiefs week is a big one. Baltimore Cincy's big. We want to get to the Ravens in a couple minutes. Detroit and the Rams.
Pretty good.
Packers and the Broncos. And it is unbelievable that the Colts season all fell apart. And we have to react to, I don't know, what does Phillip Rivers have left? There's really, there's no one on the sidelines outside the NFL who could come in and play decently for the Colts aside from Phillip Rivers. And I'm a massive Phillip Rivers fan, but come on.
He hasn't played since 2020. He's 44 years old. He legitimately became a grandfather earlier this year. His oldest child is the same age as current Colts starting quarterback Riley Leonard. It's flabbergasting. If they were going to, I know this couldn't happen for a lot of reasons, but if the Colts were going to go, hey, we're going to go with the retired future Hall of Fame quarterback, wouldn't you have to call Tom Brady up and see if he's interested? Wouldn't you have to do that? I know it wouldn't happen for a myriad of reasons, but don't you have to make that call? Because he at least only played 2 years. He's been out of the league 2 years. Phillip Rivers has been out of the league. Phillip Rivers has been out of the league since 2020. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. By the way, I am so aggravated with myself because at the beginning of last week, Indianapolis was available to miss the playoffs still at plus 260.
Oof.
And I was like, you know what? This feels like a really good bet. Their schedule's really tough. They just lost to the Texans. They have to play Jacksonville twice. They still have to play Houston and Houston. They still have to play San Francisco. They have to go to Seattle. 9-8's not going to cut it in the AFC. Never did it. And now it's minus 280 to miss. And I'm surprised it's honestly that short. Should be, should be like minus 550 at this rate. If Phillip Rivers is going to potentially play for them.
Well, the Colts' demise opened things up a little bit in the AFC. As you said, 4 or 5 weeks ago, people were talking about the Colts maybe being the top cream of the crop.
Yeah.
In the AFC. Not anymore. Now the question is, who is? Because the path to the top might be easier. I'm not going to say relatively easy because we know the AFC has been all about the glamour quarterbacks, and Mahomes has won most of the time. You know, bad break for the Bengals that Burrow got hurt because when he's around, they're good because he's a one-man wrecking crew. It ain't the Ravens.
Nope.
How about the Ravens? How about my Steelers? My Gary Lawless bet. Over under 9 wins. That was a big one. Steal that win.
I think
plus 6.
I think you're pushing on that, but it just... So, who's the glamour quarterback we didn't mention? It's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
It's the Buffalo Bills, who, by the way...
We got about 20 years, so...
Oh, okay.
We
can build on the
side. But on the Ravens, like that... Yeah. Lamar Jackson's not healthy, and the Ravens... And the Ravens were a flawed team when he was around at the very beginning of the season. It's not the same organization it's been. It's not the same team it's been.
Nope, not one bit.
On the way back, we will get to the Bills because I think there is some pressure on the Bills. Been waiting forever for Josh Allen to finally break through, and now like those big obstacles, the other quarterbacks aren't going to be there.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Hey, we got Adam Hill back in the fold tomorrow. Parles is here today. Getting a look at all the company this week. Mr. Hill, who's a longtime hater of Josh Allen, used to be a Bills fan, bailed on the Bills because he thought they mistreated Tyrod Taylor. He also doesn't like the fans with Buffalo, didn't want to be part of that group. He always loved the storylines of Josh Allen needs to win. Right? Like, the pressure's on. He's the golden boy. Why hasn't he won yet? And the way the AFC is shaping up because of flawed teams, Chiefs are down, Ravens are down, Bengals can't fight all the way back. I mean, this guy could be a problem. This will be a statement tonight. Again, this guy is Justin Herbert. When we're talking about the glamour quarterbacks, that's been kind of the story in the AFC. All these other dudes can't win a Super Bowl because Mahomes and the Chiefs have been in the way. Now the Bills' path, not so difficult.
Well, at least in theory, it doesn't look difficult.
Well, it's not going to be a star quarterback when you look back that's going to take them down. The problem is there's flaws on the Bills.
Well, I think we also, well, we'll get to those in a second, but we could also be looking back in 10 years and be like, oh, well, Drake May actually got there ahead of schedule or something along those lines. That's
touché.
Maybe
Drake May is about to be one of these guys.
That's very possible. That is the
case. Let's hope not.
I hope not.
Freaking Patriots.
Yes, you and I agree on that. Or, and here's, Buffalo needs to find a way to hop New England in the AFC East. Because as good as Josh Allen is, and as good as James Cook is, which is, if they're going to win a Super Bowl, it's going to be because James Cook has a monster postseason. I do not love the idea of having to win three road games, regardless of me not thinking any of the teams that are going to have division championships in their name this year in the AFC are really that good. But I don't love Buffalo having to win three road games in order to win the Super Bowl. So then it's like, all right, then who else is there? The Broncos have a great defense, but Bo Nix terrifies me in a playoff scenario. Terrifies me. I think he's going to play horribly against Green Bay this week, but I also think Jordan Love's going to play horribly against Denver's defense. I think that's just going to be a defensive struggle where there's a ton of turnovers. Are the Patriots really as good as their 11-2 record shows? Probably not, because they played a horrible schedule. But Mike Vrabel is awesome, and Drake May, I think, is legitimately as good as he's shown so far this year. I don't buy that defense. Houston last night proved once again that they have the best defense and the best unit period in the AFC. And C.J. Stroud, I don't trust. I don't trust that offensive coaching staff. So who does that leave? That leaves the AFC North champion, whether it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, or Cincinnati. None of those teams are any good, even though if Cincinnati found a way in, Burrow is a special quarterback in the playoffs. But Lamar's not healthy, and the Steelers are not any good, even if they win a division. Chargers, I don't know, they're still the Chargers, right? So who does that leave?
This is wild.
Who does that leave? That leaves the Jacksonville Jaguars for me, where I've been on the Jaguars for about a month now. They've won four straight. They annihilated Indy even before Jones got hurt yesterday. That game was not heading towards being competitive. But then you have Trevor Lawrence, just scares me also. But Liam Cohen's a stud, and that defense, boy, that defense has gotten quite good the last month. So to me, the top two Super Bowl contenders in the AFC at the current moment are the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills. And I don't think, I mean, how ridiculous is that statement I just uttered, Cofield? That the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. By the way, the Jags, if you look down the stretch for their schedule, they have our Jets this weekend. They should beat the Jets 38-7, realistically speaking, Cofield. And in their next two games, they're on the road at Denver, on the road at Indy, and Tennessee to end the year. They could end up with the 3 seed. They could end up with the 2 seed if Denver or New England falter down the stretch.
NFC, Bears don't win, but
I was impressed. Ben Johnson's awesome. The play calling was not the issue yesterday, even though I hated how they managed the clock at the end. I think that's part of the reason we ended up in the Caleb Williams panic throw on the fourth down play instead of throwing it to DJ Moore or actually taking his time and getting a little loft under the throw. But Ben Johnson's play calling is really good. And you know what? I have my questions with that defense still, but that team is a legitimate playoff caliber team. The Packers are really good. I think we've kind of lost them in the shuffle because of that bad stretch for Love where they lost to Carolina and looked awful on offense and then looked awful on offense and lost to Philadelphia. I think Green Bay, now that Jordan Love's got his mojo back, is a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
College football, and we're going to talk Raiders football with Jesse Marrick here in about 10 minutes from Silver and Black Sports Network. And I could pour salt in the wound of what's going on with the 2-11 Raiders in an era where they've got a third straight new head coach. I don't even talk about interims in the last 3 years. And I wonder how many people listening were like, wow, there's a lot of teams that are now amongst the in crowd who just hired their coach in the last 3 years. Lots of them.
Yeah, well.
Like when you're like, Ben Johnson's awesome, then I'm also thinking, Liam Cohen is pretty good, too.
Yeah. Liam Cohen's amazing. Well, that kind
goes without saying, Jim Harbaugh's good too.
Yeah. Yeah. And he ended up with Antonio Pierce and Pete Carroll. You knew, really, this all spawned from them firing McDaniel, which they should have, and Pierce winning a bunch of games against bad teams. That's what this all spawned from.
And also, part of it came from not going the interim route the first time they had a chance to.
With Passaccia, yeah.
Yeah, it's just always like, hey, you know, like there's like a recency, too much recency in decision-making instead of a long view. And, man, it's messed up right now. They're 2-11. Anyway. All right, college football playoff numbers. This is usually when we talk gambling at 445 on Cofield & Company. We're here at Boomer Sportsbook, Ellis Island, Front Yard. Got the country music going on in the background. By the way, they have a cowboy ribeye with tobacco-smoked onions, which is kind of intriguing.
Tabasco or Tabasco?
Tobacco.
Tobacco.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay, interesting.
Maybe we'll just get a side of that.
Interesting.
Some onions. Get some smelly breath up here just so we can taste it, right? Maybe some bacon and onions. No liver and onions. Maybe some bacon and onions. But, yeah, we're hanging out, getting ready for Monday Night Football. Herbert is in. He's got – I got to find, like, a one-gloved villain. He's got like, a big white glove on. So Herbert's going to be out there. And obviously, Jalen Hurts on the other side and the Eagles, who have not looked great of late. All right, CFP numbers. You started looking ahead to national title, but
yeah,
let's just concentrate on what's been posted for these games on the 19th and the 20th. Alabama, Oklahoma. What do you want to do?
Hate watch it? Realistically speaking, I have no play in this game. What's the total? How low is this total? Are we talking like 41, 42 in this game? Because Alabama can't move the ball right now. Right now, the total on Oklahoma and Bama is 41 or 40 and a half. So, all right, I was in the right area code. Both of these offenses have been terrible the last month. Absolutely terrible. So, this wouldn't shock me if someone wins this game 13-10. I don't know who. I actually think Oklahoma probably finds a way because their defense is better than Bama's. But I'd go under. That would be the way to look at it. I advanced Oklahoma in my bracket for what it's worth.
You're all stoked about Miami and Texas A&M. It's a 4-point spread. A&M favored at home.
Wrong team favored, period. Wrong team is favored. I don't care the games in College Station. Look at what A&M has been the last month also. They have not been anywhere near as good since they thrashed LSU in that Brian Kelly goodbye game. They were lucky to beat South Carolina. They were not good against Texas, and they lost the final week of the season. And for all of the noise with Miami, Miami's played really well since the loss to SMU. Their offense has been great. They have two elite pass rushers. Texas A&M offensive lineman's already yapping about Reuben Bain's not that good. Also,
I don't like that.
That's stupid.
Be careful.
That's stupid. Be careful on that. But no, look, as long as Beck doesn't have a back-breaking turnover-laden game, that's the only way I see A&M winning. I like Miami outright. They win outright. Don't need the points.
I'll probably lay the points. I don't trust Cristobal. I don't trust Beck.
That's fair. Cristobal, for sure.
I think there could be a big sigh of relief coming from Miami that they made it. That doesn't mean they're going to win a game in it. I am taking Tulane, and I hope this number keeps growing. I think that Ole Miss at 16.5 is too juicy to pass up on the Tulane side. I think without Kiffin, Tulane is 10 points worse. Check that. Ole Miss is 10 points worse. I wonder Ole Miss's attitude in this after kicking someone's ass if they're going to be completely focused. So I think it's going to be a lot more competitive. I like Retzlaff a lot on the Tulane side. Now, Tulane's also dealing with the coaching change too, which is a factor. But I'll take Tulane.
They played, I would argue, they played their best game of the year last Friday night. I mean, they just completely shut down that awesome Tulane, that is, that awesome North Texas offense. They made Mestermaker just look completely confused the whole game. It was impressive. I don't think we're done moving up yet. I think we're going to see this number just continue to grow. Probably 17.5 is probably your peak, but there's obviously a big difference between 17.5 and 16.5.
Oregon got to like 24. Right now it's 21 against James Madison.
There are a lot of group of six people who are pushing that James Madison's going to be able to stay in this game. I don't buy that at all. The only game that James Madison played against a power conference team was Louisville earlier in the year. They did cover. They did slow down a really good Louisville run attack in that game, but Oregon's just a different animal. I think it's a complete wipeout. I don't know how James Madison scored more than 7 points. 35-7, 38-7, something in that category. And it's part of the reason they stacked this game and threw it on ESPN's like, TNT, you can have this.
I think JMU is a cool story. Again, I was ranting at the beginning of this hour about access. James Madison moved up from FCS to FBS. It was an FCS power, and they put a lot of money into the program, and they had a good coach in Bob Chesney, and they put together a real nice roster here. Obviously, Cignetti started things. We'll see what happens with Billy Napier, if that's going to be a good choice. But I love that story. It's a daunting trip. The trip is, part of my issue is that it's a zillion miles away.
Yeah.
I don't see Oregon looking ahead. I don't know. Maybe Oregon's extra motivated because they weren't given a bye. But I could see Oregon rolling up that one pretty good. Even though, we'll all be rooting for, except for a couple of Duck fans in the area, we'll all be rooting for JMU. Upset, competitive game. Come on.
Upset would be great for my Texas Tech tickets.
My God. And that's your pick right now, huh? You look through the bracket, you think that's the way to go?
I love their matchup against Oregon. I think they're going to out-physical the Ducks. After watching Indiana against Ohio State, I think Indiana's going to have problems blocking that Texas Tech front. And as long as Morton doesn't have a horrible game, which is always in play with him, that defense can shut down anyone, and I think Georgia and Ohio State are just going to beat each other up in the semifinal.
Were you not inspired by Mendoza in the postgame?
It was interesting. We'll just go with that. I'll be polite.
Just want to. I'm going to remain polite until tomorrow. He's an interesting cat.